Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Sybil Ackerman Munson, who's a donor, advisor, and founder of Do Your Good. Sybil, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike. I'm really pleased to be here today.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn from you because I love your foundation, Do Your Good. It's kind of like, yep, we want to be do-gooders, and Do Your Good is an action word. It's kind of like, okay, let's get to it. So before we jump into what all you do, give us a little bit of your background and your entrepreneurial journey to this point in your career.
Yeah, well, I worked in the nonprofit field doing good works myself for many years. And I loved working in the nonprofit world because it's so focused on giving back to your community. And then while I was doing that, one of the donors, the folks that, you know, give grants and donations to the nonprofit I worked for, one of those donors said to me, Sybil, I still want to be a trustee of my foundation, but I don't want to run the foundation anymore. Can you run it for me and then make recommendations to me and also my sister and my family members about how we should give money away? And he's like, you are in the field and I trust you to be able to make good decisions and you know the community. Can you please come into the foundation? I said, heck yeah.
That sounds fun. Yeah.
Help you give money away. Yeah, it sounds so fun. I had no idea at the time. I'm like, how hard could it be to give money away effectively? It's hard, actually, to do it well, right?
Yeah.
And this was back in 2008. And I went into the foundation world and was a full-time executive director at this family foundation. Had a fabulous time. I really lucked into it because I didn't ask the questions I should have asked, like, okay, so do you get along with your sister and the other trustees and all these different questions? And do you know what your focus is specifically? All these kind of things that nowadays I know if a person comes to me and says they want to give money away effectively, I know to ask these kind of questions, like in terms of helping them focus. But then I just jumped into it. But I loved it. And I was so lucky because this family is terrific and I still work with them. But over the years, more and more families and individual donors asked me to support them. Excuse me. When they found out that I do this work, they're like, oh, can you give me advice? And I said, why don't I start a business supporting folks who have wealth and want to do good in the world, supporting them to give money away effectively? Because I can tell you that if you don't do it with a strategy, you can actually waste money and you can cost nonprofits valuable time. I mean, there's really a downside. It feels like, oh, I can just give money to my favorite nonprofit and everything's hunky-dory, but it really can mess up. You can make big mistakes there. So that's what I've done now is I decided to create my own business where I support donors to give money away effectively. And I have many one-on-one clients and family foundations where I talk with them about their strategies, help them create their dockets for giving strategies and work with them in their trustee meetings, all that kind of thing. Over the years, I got pitched by so many nonprofits and I've helped give away over $45 million in donations, sort of large and small donations, that I realized I have all this wealth of information. It's sort of a responsibility for me to also now create this arm of my business called Do Your Good, which is really about I've created mini courses and online resources and weekly podcasts where I really delve into this question of how to give money away effectively. And I sort of created some tips and tricks so that donors can think about this on their own and figure out how to be the most effective giver that they can be. So it's super fun.
Yeah, you know, what strikes me is you discovered something that was kind of like a, you know, like the dog that's confused and he cocks his head like, what? Like, who would have thought it's hard to give away money? You know,
here's
a bunch of money.
Totally.
Here's some cool causes. Stroke a check. Go. So give us an idea of what's an example of What's a stumbling block? Why would it be hard? What does it look like if it's a poor decision to give away money?
Yeah, well, okay. There's a few. The biggest stumbling block I see is when you, as a person who wants to give money away, you care about an issue. Let's say it's houselessness or climate change, you name it, any issue you care about. You say, I want to give money to nonprofits that are tackling this issue. But you yourself don't necessarily have personal expertise in that issue.
Okay.
What I've seen happen is you end up doing a Google search, you know, on the web or just a search from your favorite search engine. You find some nonprofits and you give the nonprofit that's, you know, most prominent in the news some money. And then you say, great, I've done my good deed. And there's a bunch of challenges with that. Let me tell you the top challenge and then tell you a story connected to it. The top challenge is sometimes that nonprofit that's most visible in the news may not be the nonprofit that's getting the work done on the ground, that's spending the time getting the work done on the ground. There are plenty of nonprofits that don't focus on being out there in the media because they're too busy getting the good work done on the ground. So yes, it doesn't mean that the nonprofit that's out there visibly, they're probably doing good stuff too. It's just if you're only looking at that, you could be missing the mark and you could be missing funding groups that are really doing work that you care about on the ground.
Because they don't have the resources to be visible and it's like, wow, they're getting a lot of stuff done, but they're just kind of flying under the radar.
And what you don't realize is happening is if you're just giving money to the groups that are the flashiest ones, you might inadvertently be causing a lot of resentment in the community on the ground.
Mm.
And what happens then is that the bigger groups can end up causing resentment with those groups that are more doing the work on the ground, and things can start spinning. If you do your work as a donor and you really dig in to the groups that are doing the work on the ground, what you'll find is you might end up saying, okay, well, I might then, instead of only giving to the flashy group that is also good, I'm not saying groups that are smart with communications are bad groups. They're terrific. So you might still want to give donations to that group, but you also then might want to give donations to the groups doing the work on the ground that may not be in the news as much. You might split your donation, and that'll cause a lot more goodwill among the groups, because they'll all feel heard.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a story about this, if that's okay. But you sound like you might want to ask me something before I do that.
I was only thinking out loud that could there be resentment build up because the groups in the news tend to have a little bit of administrative bloat and not a high percentage of every dollar goes to the actual cause. And now here's these people actually doing the work on the ground going, they're just, you know, your money's not being fully utilized, in other words.
Sometimes. I mean, there's such diversity in nonprofits, and it's very important that nonprofits have a good communication strategy. And I do think that I don't want to diss that too much, right? I appreciate what you're saying, but my main point is there's an and here, right? So if you care about an issue and there's a group that's good at communications, you don't want to just fund that and say, I've done my job.
Yeah.
Okay, because we do need those groups out there that are good at communications and that are out there. And I would argue that it's not actually that if they're good at communications, they're not bloating their budget or anything. I'd push back in a friendly way on you on that. But it means, though, that there's other groups that may not be focused on that but have another important niche in the issue you're working on. And if you only fund one side of that and not all elements, you could actually create resentment in the community. And then that ends up having the community spin in resentment and not move forward.
Yeah.
And you as a donor may never know you're doing this. You may never know it because as a donor also, you sometimes get pitched to by folks and you get the best foot forward, but you won't hear that. So you will just keep thinking, oh, I'm just keeping on doing this good stuff. And you won't realize that you're ending up inadvertently causing some of this tension. Even if you give smaller amounts of money It matters, small or large. You need to think about this kind of piece. Now, let me give you a story about when I lived this when I was in the nonprofit world. There's a few stories here I could tell, but I'll tell one of them that was just so interesting to me. So when I was just beginning in the nonprofit field, I was working my way up in the world, and I got this dream job. I was so excited. I finally made it. Woohoo! You know, I get into my first day, and I start looking at the grant proposals that my predecessor had written in this job that was a much larger organization than where I was at before. And I was reading the proposals that they had written. And one of the proposals talked all about a project that I had actually done in my former job. So they were taking credit for a job that I actually spent most of the time doing. Now, they helped me a little bit, right? But they were the ones that got actually quite a significant grant from a donor for that work. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this is crazy. No wonder they were working there, but they were actually getting significant grants off of something I had done. Now, let me clarify. I actually was working for a group before that was not small either, but my program within that organization was fairly small. So I was just sort of toiling away. I actually was really early in my career, so I didn't have access to those donors. The donors didn't even know to talk to me. But this person who had more clout, everything else, they were able to raise those funds. And it made me think, oh, my gosh, in the future, I need to be very careful about this. You know, whoever's really doing the work, I need to be sure first I'm giving credit to those folks and that they're getting funding, as well as maybe now I have this larger platform to talk to donors now that I got that promotion in this new group. But I need to be careful about that. And that's just more of a personal story, but just expand that out to the situation where nonprofits can easily end up not being equitable in how they're supporting each other and doing their pitches to donors. So as a donor, if you ask the right questions, like, this is a great program, but who are you partnering with? Then the nonprofit person will tell you that. And then you'll know that you can go and talk to some of those other folks. They're not going to hide it from you if you ask the right questions, because nobody's necessarily doing this with ill will. It's just that people are working really hard at promoting their work and they need to raise money, and it's very stressful, right? Yeah. But if you as a donor ask a simple question, who else are you collaborating with? They'll tell you, and then you can go and talk to those folks. So that's one piece. There's so many other things I'd love to talk about, but let's ask me more questions, Mike,
thinking, so this might tie into what you've said, because one of the points you were making, it made me think about the concept of, air quotes, check the box. You know, I'm a donor. Yeah. I have plenty of money. Here's this good cause. Stroke a check. Check the box. I'm a philanthropist, right? So that's nice because money's flowing to good causes. But is it a good idea, or do you coach your donors to get involved and engaged with a certain organization so they feel and see and experience the good that's being done with their funds?
Yes. The most important thing is that if you want to give money away effectively, you really, really, I feel very strongly about this, before you give any money away, sit back and think carefully about who you are. And that's why I named my company Do Your Good. Too many times I've seen people with wealth say, we have extra money to give away. We want to do good works. What is the big heady issue that we should be investing in? What's the trend? They feel like that's what they should be investing in. And they ignore the fact that they may not actually know anything about that issue or have any friends, coworkers, or colleagues that also know about that issue. Or in their daily life, they just don't have any connection with that issue. The problem with thinking that you need to do the big heady issue first is that then you get stuck into these challenges, like the story I just told you before, where you then start just talking to a few of the top level groups. You don't know enough about the issue. You don't have a good way to check your knowledge, and you can end up causing more harm than good.
Yeah.
So what I like to tell, and I'll talk to you about sort of the four steps that I support folks in thinking about before they give money away. But the thing I want to emphasize is no matter what issue you care about, there's a do-good nonprofit working in that issue, large or small. So first I say, take all judgment out of it. You know, no one's going to judge you. No matter what you care about, you'll find a do-good nonprofit helping the community, helping people. So given that, I suggest that you think about four key things to help you focus your giving strategy. One is, think about exactly what you do every day. What's your daily routine? And write that down. The next thing is, what are your hobbies? And they might be part of your daily routine, but they might not be. So that's why I want you to write all those down. The third thing is, what is your favorite place to be, or the favorite thing you do that just really gives you joy and rejuvenation? It might be your hobby. It might be something you do in daily life, but it also might be a trip you do every year. Or it might be that you love to go on, you know, once a year you go away with your best friends somewhere. Write that down. For me, it's camping at the Nehalem Bay Horse Camp. I love horses, and I camp there every year. I'm actually going there tomorrow.
Awesome.
So I can't wait. But so that's, write down your favorite places. The fourth thing is really important, and that is, what are the thing or things that keep you up at night, that stress you out, that challenge you? And write those down. And you'll have a lot of things in each one of these areas. If you're anything like me, you've got lots of things you love to do. You have lots of things you're doing in your daily life. But what I find is when you do that, you'll find some through lines and of things that both keep you up at night, the things that you're doing every day, things that you care about. When I did this exercise on myself, I discovered that the thing I wanted to focus in on is supporting youth, kids, in what they're working on related to thwarting climate change. That was my personal journey. But no judgment, you know, anything you care about. And the thing that's cool is when you pick something this way, then what happens is, because you've picked something that has to do with like your daily life or your hobby or your favorite place, you're going to have friends, coworkers, colleagues who also connect with you on this level of things. You'll already be connected to the issue. And so then you'll have this inherent knowledge about being able to support the nonprofits in that community. So when you ask the questions about like, what are the other nonprofits working in that area, you'll easily be able to reach out to those folks and know what's going on and volunteer. And it'll be much more a part of your natural life. It'll give you your own rejuvenation. It'll be tackling, the thing you're doing will be tackling the challenge that you care about. So it'll give you a lot more fulfillment, and it'll allow you to keep funding in that area for years and years and years.
Because part of your passion, you're drawn toward it,
yes.
Not pushed.
Yes. And yeah. I also feel strongly about this because with my clients that I work with, I've seen situations where the client feels like they should work on the big heady issue, and we start funding it. And then 1 or 2 years later, they're like, oh, I don't want to fund that anymore. And what happens then is that the nonprofits have started like really engaging, thinking you're involved. And by jumping off the wagon on that, it's really rough on the nonprofits. And it's rough on you too, because you sort of feel like, wait, I'm just not inspired. Sometimes you end up not funding anything at all after that. And the community needs you. It needs your support. And so that's where doing this good work up front. And if you haven't done it up front and you're giving now, that's totally fine. You still have time to go back and do it. And I've done that with clients of mine where they've been giving, 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 and they're like, I'm just not inspired in this area. So we sit back down and we go, okay, well, let's talk about these these key issues. What is it you really care about? How do you connect? How do you make sure that it's not just sort of paper giving, but instead it's something that's part of your life and gives you fulfillment?
Not paper giving, passion giving.
I love that, Mike. That's great. Can I copy that?
You can have it. Spur of the moment coaching. You got it.
That's great. I love that.
Well, Sybil, it's so nice to hear what you're doing and your passion behind this. So as a donor advisor, if someone is listening to this and wanting to learn a little bit more about what you can do for them, what's the best way they can reach out, connect with you, and learn more?
Great. Well, you can go onto my website, which is doyourgood.com. And there you'll see my free resources and my mini courses. And I also have a weekly podcast that's on all your favorite streaming sites. You can type in Do Your Good or Sybil Ackerman Munson, and you can find it there. And you can find me on Instagram or Facebook through the handle Do Your Good. So it's just type in Do Your Good anywhere and you'll find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. It was a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Mike.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.